Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, and I'm here at part three of What Do You Value? What do you value? You know, no one can argue that our basic needs must be taken care of first before we can make any decisions. I mean, the basic of all needs before we can make any decisions about anything that we need to do. That includes going to school, that includes going to work, that includes asking for promotions, that includes anything that you want to volunteer for, to get out there and roll up your sleeves for. You have to be able to meet your basic needs first. This is the first value every person recognizes, the very first value. And it gets even more complicated when we must provide the basic needs for another person, especially our children or family members who need our support. You see, that's when it gets real complicated. Because now we're not just thinking about ourselves now. So therefore, providing basic food, shelter, clothing, all of those basic needs must be considered for ourselves as well as others. That's pretty expansive when you have a large family. This is before we choose the things that we want, okay? Remember, we've got needs and then we've got those wants, my friends, such as college or increased job responsibilities or better, you know, for better pay. I mean, that's why most of us go to school, is that, you know, there's some of us that are just dedicated lifelong learners, but we can do that by just picking up a book and reading it. But to actually step out the door and go to a class and to expend that energy of fighting the traffic, if you have to do that, buying books, sitting there in those classrooms, listening to the instructors, some of them you don't want to listen to, some of them you totally enjoy, some jobs that you don't want to go to, but you know that if you go there, that it's a stepping stone to somewhere else. When you consider all of those things, those are wants. We want to have a better life, all of us. But we have to make sure that our value systems are in the right place, too. See, that's what our show is about today. What do we value? And that value system that we hold is what motivates us. So we have to be motivated by what we want and what our values are. We've been talking about that for the last two shows. And so this show, I want to focus on the decisions that we make and how we make those decisions based on what our values are and what we're motivated to do. You know, I think back to many of the students that I've encountered over the years and how often I find those that do not know what they really value. They're very confused about that. And it may be because of their family background having different value systems, as we discussed last week. Sometimes your family has a conflicting value system than you do. That could be a negative or a positive. Or your spouse could have a different value system than you do. So, you know, how do you get around that? How do you start really feeling comfortable that you've made the right decision to be where you are? How do you do that, my friends? How do you feel comfortable about the decision that you make? Well, first off, like I said, you have to make sure that you have those basic needs met. So how do we ensure that? Well, if you're, of course, when you're in your childhood, you hope that, excuse me, that your parents would be providing that those basic needs for you. But that doesn't always happen, does it? And so we go next to the caregiver, and we go on to the person that is in some way in our environment and can provide some of our basic needs. We want to make sure that we look for the right person, even as children. That with children, they can make very, very big mistakes on who they look to for their basic needs, can't they? And so we want to make sure that when children are making those decisions, that there's someone there to guide them about who to go through and how to develop those value systems to motivate them to go to school and to build their dreams, to build their goals. That's so important. Boy, it's confusing when you think about even yourself. When you were a child and you were growing up, how did you make those decisions? How did you know, you know, whether or not you were picking the right person? Did you know? Most of the time, you didn't, did you? And sometimes that could lead into picking someone that was abusive or not a good role model. And so you might have spent a large portion of your own childhood in an environment that wasn't really a good value system and didn't teach you how to provide for yourself even those basic needs. So now you're no longer a child. So now what? You're the adult now. You're able to take care of yourself. And, you know, boy, this is a tough one when you think about who the adult really is in today's world. Because sometimes the adult in today's world is still really very much considered, in our country, definitely in America, a child. And I'm talking about those 16-year-olds that are out there that may even be listening to our broadcast right now and that have to work in order to provide for their families. And they're not considered children. No, they're not. They're not considered children at all. And they've lost that part of their childhood, the innocence of their childhood at 16 years old, sometimes even earlier. You know, I know many, many students that come to me at 14, 15 years old. And you see, we at White Apple Institute, we only service those 16 and above. And so when they come to us earlier in life, I mean, our heart just you know, goes out to them, because it's like, what are you doing out here alone and trying to make decisions about your basic needs? Where are your parents? Where are your caregivers? But they're too mature now to go into the basic foster family system. And so we can't even refer them to any kind of child protective agency. We can't. They are too grown now. Remember that expression? I'm too grown. Well, I'll tell you something. They're not in many ways. You find a young person today and you want to embrace them, do so. Do so, please. Let them know that you care about what happens to them. There's a great commercial on that's out there now, talk about value systems. And it's I can't remember the agency that's doing it. I think it's called Boost Up. And what it's about is it shows the teenager in today's world working. And it's a young lady that's doing a janitorial job at night and trying to go to school during the day. I'm really glad that they have that commercial. You know, that was my life. I grew up as a very, very young adult at 16 years old. And it was difficult for me to provide for my own basic needs, to even understand what it is that I needed and what it is that I wanted, because that guidance was missing for a large portion of my life. If you have a story to tell, share that with us. We want to hear it. We want to hear how you've overcome those rough times in your childhood, in your late childhood, in your early adulthood, where you could have easily have picked up the label of, I'm disadvantaged. I can't do anything with my life. I'm disadvantaged because my mother kicked me out, or my father kicked me out, or they abused me or whatever. And so therefore, the rest of my life, I cannot go to school or work or do anything productive because I'm stuck. Those are the people that we need to reach out and touch. We need to let them know that we are here for them. But does that mean that we eliminate those that are at 40 and 50 years old? No, my friends, it does not. As a matter of fact, at White Apple Institute, we're finding that the average student right now who's returning to school is a very mature adult. Yes, some of them even grandparents that are returning to school and trying to make a decent living. And some of them at one time in their life might have gone to school and been diagnosed with a learning disability. And at a time in our nation, in our educational system, we didn't recognize that people with any type of mental or learning disability were still valuable citizens, and we didn't have programs to help then. But now, if you're 40 or 50 years old and you know someone, even older, we've had a student 65 years old that graduated with an AA degree in business. So, it's not even an age factor. I'm just throwing that age out there. And I'm saying to you, as I said to you a moment ago, and encouraging you to reach out and grab that young person and not necessarily hug them, because, you know, we have all these misperceptions about showing affection now, but at least in a spiritual way, hug them. In a spiritual way, become a mentor. In a spiritual way, become a mentor to even an older person. It may be your sister or brother that you've looked at through the years, working a job that they couldn't help working because that was the only thing available to them, and they're just in turmoil inside of themselves because they'd love to go to school. They'd love to find a different type of work, something that they really love to do. But they feel stuck. Who am I to go to college? Who am I to even finish a GED? I didn't get my high school diploma because I had to work or because I had a learning disability that no one addressed. Who am I to know what to value? Because sometimes, my friends, before, now get this now, sit down and hold on, because here I'm going to talk about the first basic need. Now, I know you're probably going to say, well, of course, the first basic need is food and water. And no, it goes a little deeper than that. The first basic need, the first thing that we begin to value is the breath of life. Think about that for a minute. As soon as we leave our biological mother's body, the first thing that we do is breathe. Now, what does that breath mean? That breath is an acknowledgement of life. Wow. So if we're acknowledging life, we're setting up a value system that early, as soon as we come out of the womb. Now, I know that's deep for a lot of, I mean, even for me to think about, you know, how that sounds. That my first value system was not, you know, where am I going to eat? I mean, that did come. That comes almost immediately after acknowledging that first breath. You know, as a young infant, what do? After we take that first breath and now we're breathing on our own, then we start looking for something to eat, either mother's breast or a bottle, something to nourish us. Something to keep us going so that we take the next steps of making sure that someone keeps us warm. Someone shelters us and gives us a continuous infusion of physical food. Okay, here we go. And mental food. Mental food? What do you mean mental food? The mental food we need to begin exploring. Piaget, one of the well-known psychologists in child development, talked about the awareness that we develop very early in life. That sense of adventure, that sense of exploration, that sense of I want to know something about what I'm seeing and what I'm touching and what I'm tasting and what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. I want to explore. So after we get all those basic needs met, then we begin valuing other things around us and our environment. And we're hoping, even as young children, we were hoping that there would be someone there that would support that adventurous spirit, that exploration within us, that explorer within us. But unfortunately, we do find today even, and I'm very disappointed to even say this, but there's so much abuse going on with children today because the parents that are having these children did not find their own value system and didn't know how to supply their basic needs. Not just food and shelter and clothing, we know about that, but the basic needs that I talked about a moment ago of acknowledging self, acknowledging your own breath, that you are here and an individual first. And that something else comes up with that too. Love. Is love a basic need? Is love something that you value? Many times when I'm speaking to someone about love, the first thing that we do is we go, especially I'm talking about adult men and women, the automatic response seems to be, don't talk to me about love. Love hurts. What's love got to do with it? Okay? The Dalai Lama, a very influential being on this planet today, said that it's very common for Westerners to always look at love as a romantic interaction with another human being of same or opposite sex. But love goes so much deeper than that. The love that I'm talking about, my friends, is that love that you have for yourself first. For yourself. And loving yourself means only that you love the Creator that created you. No matter what your religious beliefs are, we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about whatever way you come into this life and you begin to start valuing yourself, what you're doing is loving yourself. And I did forget to mention, my friends, that I am, the chat window is open. So if you'd like to chat with me without coming online right now, I know that we have some listeners out there that right now do not want to come on and come on live, and that's okay. Professor Applewhite does not try to push people to come on live. It's up to you. But if you're on computer right now and you're listening to my voice and you'd like to say something about this value system I'm talking about, the decisions that we make from those value systems about our basic needs, if you want to say something about that, give me a call at 1-646-727-3758. So now, getting back to this love issue and how we begin to value love at the very beginning of our lives and hopefully carry that through, carrying that through our lives, that ability to love another human being. But we cannot do that, remember, until we love ourselves. We have to value ourselves in order to love ourselves. We have to acknowledge our breath. That means acknowledging ourselves as individuals, as valuable contributions to our planet. As soon as we are born, we begin to absorb what's going on in our environment. What's up, mommy? What's up, daddy? What's up, caregivers? Even if you are an adopted child, somewhere in your lifetime, at the very beginning of your development. You know, now I can go all the way back into the conception here because that's really when true nurturing starts happening. But I'm taking it from the time that you come out of your mother's womb and you are actually taking your first breath on your own, that you become this person of value. But you see, you cannot, I can't tell you that you're valuable unless you believe it. I can't. It is totally up to you, my friends. So when I look out, when I'm giving a speech somewhere and I look out at the audience and I make eye contact with someone, I'm amazed at a great feeling that comes over me. And I believe it's an Assyrian expression that says that the word, the concept of namaste happens. And namaste, as my interpretation of it, is that the God light or the God love inside of me recognizes or connects with the God light and love within you. And so we begin to connect with each other. And I find this connection happening with people who know, who understand that they are valuable, valuable human beings. And that no matter whether or not you were able to supply your basic needs in your childhood, including the love from your parents, whether that was there or not, or your caregivers, that you have grown, it's inevitable that you are going to change and you are going to mature. That's inevitable. But that you also reach deep inside of yourself and began to grow and to value yourself. And when you value yourself, you find a way to provide those basic needs that are so important to your survival. And don't get mixed up. If you can help it, please don't get mixed up on what love really is. Because I assure you, and this goes from, I promise you, from everything that I have read and experienced through others, love does not hurt. The value system of loving yourself and loving others does not hurt. I know some of you may be shaking your head and saying, yeah, it does. But that's because somewhere in your lifetime, your perception of your value systems was thwarted, was changed. I'm here as an instrument today over these internet waves, these sound waves via telephone. Let me touch you and assure you that you are valued and that I love you. That's right. I have no apprehension of saying, I love you. Now, how can I say that so quickly and so easily to people who are listening in from China or Nigeria, or that the orphanage that writes me Grace, I believe it's Grace Orphanage in India, or how about the Garch home, the residential home that's in Upper San Francisco that sometimes calls in, and it's called Garch. And the owner will call in sometimes and share the radio episodes with her clientele. How can I reach out and start saying, I love you, to all of these different people? And you might say, well, gosh, you don't know me. You've never even seen me. But I'm reaching out to you. Because if you're listening today, your God light and love within you that you may or may not even recognize is connecting with mine. And that's how I can say I love you. Because I love myself. And I love the Creator who created me and created you. And that gives us, my friends, a very deep connection with each other. I don't need to see you physically to have that connection with you. So, go back for a minute. Relax right now and absorb everything that we've talked about for a moment. And that is that at Nazim Rashid, who provides our music for us at the beginning of the show, as he says in his book, Reconnected, you can create your own virtual family. You can create your own environment that can feed you as you go forward in life. That you can sit back and don't let go of this imagination that you have, because you're going to need it right now. You can go back and you can actually create a positive family environment in your mind. And every time that you are hungry for love and striving to develop that value system, that you can always reach into this virtual family that you've created in your mind, because sometimes the real family that you came from might not be able to feed you in a positive way. That mental food. I mentioned it again, didn't I? Mental food is that component of spiritual infusing of values. Mental food is letting someone know that there are things that they can watch and read and be around that will help them grow, hopefully in a positive way. Mental food is as important, if not more important, than physical food. Because think about this for a minute. I remember when I was a kid, I'd look at a lot of these movies that were about Western, the cowboys, and how they would get stuck sometime out in the desert. And they would get stuck out in the desert looking for food and water. So, okay, now here we go with this cowboy that's in the desert, and he's looking for food and water. But I guarantee you that without his brain being able to work, the mental food that he's been feeding himself, he would not know where to look for food and water and the basic needs of life. So that's why I'm saying to you that mental food can precede physical food. And that's why we can see that people can fast for long periods of time. If you've ever wondered, you know, I mean, they say that 7 days is the limit for those who, go without food or water. And definitely up to the 13th day that someone can go that long without any type of nourishment. That's pretty hard to do. But people do it in a fasting state because the mental food that they've already fed themselves, the preparation, the acknowledgement that they are strong enough within themselves to survive, and they do it. We have a caller online. Is there someone who wants to speak up?
Yeah, hi.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
This is Professor Applewhite. Hi.
Absolutely. How are you, Prof?
Very, very good. Would you like to share your name with us?
Sure. Mr. Solution.
Mr. Solution. Oh, I like that. You can
there
either
you
be
go.
Part of the
so
problem or part of the solution.
Yes.
That
Look,
is so
you raised,
true.
Did you say you're a professor?
Yes, I am.
Oh, excellent.
Of psychology
excellent.
And education.
Oh, absolutely. Great. Look,
mm-hmm.
you, referring to your question here, what do you value, school, work, family, money, et cetera?
Right.
It's wonderful to be surrounded by professionals such as accountants and attorneys and advisors. But I was
mm-hmm.
reading an article just the other day, and I love these articles, you know, how much does it take to be rich and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things that have to be taken into consideration is this, is we have inflation, taxation, and arbitrary devaluation. Those
oh,
are
yes.
constantly diminishing whatever income a
mm-hmm.
or wages that a person receives. So it's somewhat of a moving target. If you talk to an accountant, they talk about adjusted gross income, net income, and, of course, taxable income. And
mm-hmm.
those things are quite different, by the way. But
mm-hmm.
when we talk about school, you know, generally in school, and I love Robert Kiyosaki because he did
the Oh, rich. My God, yes, I had an opportunity to meet him. Wonderful man.
Sorry, Rich?
Yes. Pardon me?
No, there's a little bit of a delay,
I
didn't hear what you said about Robert.
I said he's a wonderful man. Wonderful.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, because
very
he's
smart.
Yeah, and he teaches very, very basic things to people who normally don't come from money. He teaches them
mm-hmm.
how to, as you were saying earlier, use their
mm-hmm.
mind to develop money. But one of the things is we don't talk about this enough, and it takes a lot of money today. And most people who say they want to be comfortable, if you just
mm-hmm.
take a moment, that is financially comfortable. If you take a
yes.
moment to go over that with them, you see that they actually want to be wealthy. And they've never taken inventory because what it would cost for them to be comfortable would indeed be quite wealthy. They would need a lot of money to be comfortable, several
mm-hmm.
hundred thousand dollars in excess of their expenses. You follow me? When
certainly
they,
in
when
America.
The median
yes.
It was 50,000, but it's less than that now since about
mm-hmm.
14 million people are out of work. But these
yes.
are some very, very important topics. They say when you're in school, and you can verify this being a professor, when you're in
mm-hmm.
school, you are graded based on grades, A, B, C,
yes.
D, or F. Hopefully no
mm-hmm.
one gets hopefully no one gets the latter. But in life,
right.
unfortunately, you are graded based upon your income. That is what
yes.
determines your lifestyle,
yes.
Your ability to get a mate, your ability to be comfortable. And
yes.
I think not enough emphasis is put on that. Now, when you pour this, the fact that within the black community particularly,
mm-hmm.
there are no
yes.
businesses. So there are really
mm-hmm.
no money-generating means, as it were. They have to depend
mm-hmm.
on everybody else's system to acquire whatever money
certainly.
They get. And believe
certainly.
You
yes.
me, everybody whom you have to acquiesce to get your income, they're going to limit the amount you get. Make no mistake
certainly.
About it. Because
certainly.
They're
of
in
course.
Control of it. So, I
That's
mean,
right.
a lot of these subjects, you know, there's much more to them than we
yes.
often bring out.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Solutions, because even when we talk about basic needs, we're talking about when we talk about value systems and getting the things that we need in this life, before we can even think about what we want, we have to have the money, the means to get that. And we have people that are listening to our show from all around the world, so there's different economic systems and different ways that we look at and perceive our environment. And so when you're speaking about the hundreds and thousands of dollars, that is definitely, well, I that's applicable globally, that everyone wants that kind of money. I don't think there's anyone that would turn that down. But
right,
the reality,
but the important part, and I know Robert talks about this a lot, is
mm-hmm.
is looking at the formulae and this particular skills, because the skill to acquire wealth is a skill that's not taught in school. Certainly most
students. Oh, certainly not. No, it's not.
Because the people who are teaching it don't usually are not very well off themselves. And that extends, unfortunately, to colleges. They teach you how to get a job and work for someone else and, of course, make them rich, but not how to become personally, financially independent. So this is a wonderful subject, and it's a life subject. It's a very crucial subject.
Is.
And it's a subject that we spend too little time developing, but I sure appreciate your endeavors to deal with this. And I'll hang out.
Mr. Solution, do you have a show on Blog Talk Radio?
No, no. I just kind of drop by on nice shows like yours. And I'll hang out in the queue and just listen to you expound a little bit more.
Yes, I tell you, and please feel free to jump in at any given moment. And any of our other listeners out there, if you're calling in right now to 1-646-727-3758, I know some of you are listening to us now on the computer. And by the way, we are available on Skype at professor.denita.applewhite. Please feel free to find me and communicate on Skype. I know that I always invite students from the colleges that I teach at online, so feel free to come on in and jump in with your opinions, comments, questions, or whatever. Now, we just heard something so, and I'll use the word valuable, from Mr. Solutions just now about how we can not only just know what's valuable in our life, but to actually begin applying it, because you can know it. You can acknowledge it, like we talked about acknowledging that first breath of life and that you're an individual, and then moving on to grab on to your basic needs, and then moving on another step further into what you want in this life and setting those goals based on those value systems. Now, I do want to, and I can't forget to do this because I promised I would at least acknowledge one of the greatest, to me, the greatest humanist psychologist ever was Abraham Maslow. And Maslow talked about the hierarchy of needs. But actually, in many ways, he was talking about the hierarchy of needs and wants. In other words, how we step up the ladder from satisfying our basic needs, my friends, and then moving up into a sense of belonging after we get our food and our water and whatever we need to get. And remember, as Mr. Solutions brought out to us, the economics that are tied into getting those basic needs met. So we cannot forget, and we have to do that within the culture that we live in. And I'm going to go back to that in just a moment if we have enough time. We have another caller online. Okay, did you want to stay quiet there? That's fine. Just continue to listen. And we appreciate the chat that's coming in right now, just basically saying that you appreciate the show, and we certainly appreciate you listening. But let's go back for a moment to the factor that when we look at this value system and this hierarchy that we begin to build, I'm going to shoot right to the top of where Maslow talked about self-actualization. So he starts from talking about we need to address our basic needs, and that means, of course, that economic infusion that has to be there. Then moving up that ladder to a sense of belonging and associations with others until we move to a point of actualizing ourselves. And without getting too heavy with that, because I know some of our listeners out there are like, what is she talking about? Well, let me break it down real easy for you. That self-actualization is what you heard just a moment ago from Mr. Solutions and many of our other listeners that come on to our show, and that is the ability to share the knowledge. Okay, they've got the knowledge now, and they have applied it in their lives or are applying it in their lives. We never really stop. We never stop growing. We never stop applying. But they also recognize the importance of sharing that knowledge, and that's what you heard from our gentleman caller, is that he's sharing his knowledge that today, in today's world, in today's classrooms, we do not push the idea, we do not encourage the idea of how you become truly wealthy. And I like to use the word prosperous. You know, I always wish people prosperity, because prosperity is something you can have irregardless of your of the economic system that you live in. So we live in different economic systems globally. And so in our economic system in the United States, when we say wealthy, as Mr. Solutions was saying, we're talking usually in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to actually say, okay, well, I'm at least comfortable. But if you're talking about one of our students who communicates very frequently with us, who lives in a small village in Nigeria, and he says, you know, my family is very poor. I want to come to the United States and study. And I'm first, I acknowledge that, and I'm first, and I hope you're listening to us right now, Malik, that first thing that it comes down to is meeting your basic needs where you're at. Whether you're in a small village in Nigeria or you're in China, some of the teachers in China connecting with us and saying, I don't even have enough supplies in my classroom. What do I do with students who come in with autism and I can't even teach my so-called regular student population? Don't give in to the depravity, okay, of the situation. Don't feel that you are so disadvantaged that you can't reach out and start teaching people not only how to secure their basic needs, but how to at least begin wanting things and setting some goals based on a value system, a positive value system. Encourage that. You cannot make a person develop their own value system. You cannot motivate them to do it. You can put out some words and some concepts there to kind of like lead them down the path, but they have to be self-empowered. And you can go back and listen to some of the shows we've done on self-empowerment and self-motivated, that they recognize when the student is ready, my friends, and that's inside the student. We are all students. When the student is ready, the teacher inside of us appears. And when that happens, then our eyes, our inner eyes and our exterior eyes, our physical eyes and our spiritual eyes awaken and open up. And we begin to see, wow, I can actually become a wealthy individual, a prosperous individual, right here in my own community. Now, unfortunately, we have a lot of people, Mr. Solutions, if you're still on, and I have another person that just logged in to chat here, and they're saying that meeting basic needs are of the utmost importance, and that is true. But here's what I wanted to say to you. Think about this for a minute. When we look at many impoverished communities in the United States even, yes, the so-called richest country in the world, and I say that with quotation marks. When we look at our communities, are we seeing people meeting their basic needs by doing some very negative things that actually land up harming themselves and harming the community in the long run? And by that I'm talking about our local drug dealer on the corner, or the young sister who's selling her body. Okay, and I say this, and yes, many times when I'm talking, because of the disparity in our black community, we have to acknowledge that there is great disparity there. You know, I mean, I'm not giving into racist dialogue. I'm not giving into a preferential dialogue. I'm not preferring one race over the other. I'm just speaking about fact. And the fact is, as Mr. Solution actually alluded to a moment ago, is that in the black communities around the globe, actually, listen to this one, because now we know that there are certain pockets, and this does not apply to all black people, all people of color. This does not apply to everyone. But we find ourselves in situations where we do not recycle our dollars. And so when we were discussing the fact that there are people who, when we go to them and we buy their goods, they make sure that we buy their goods at a premium quality that feeds their pocket, that lines their pocket much better than ours. Isn't that right, Mr. Solution?
Right. This is Mr. Solution. Look, your show is a great one. I'm about to go and donate 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
hours of my time to a workshop, and
wonderful,
it's going to be discussed.
Wonderful.
It's going, yeah, thank you. It's going to be discussing relationships, which are the foundation for businesses and healthy community development. The things
yes.
that you just mentioned, drug dealing and prostitution, those are social. Those have been deemed socially unacceptable ways of acting. They're dysfunctional.
And meeting our basic needs, right. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. The thing of it is you're destroying yourself and or others to a greater degree than you're building anything. But Dr. Claude Anderson, he wrote 2 books, Powernomics,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, one was Black Labor, White Wealth, I believe, which defines...
Yes.
Yeah, that defines the problem, the first book. And then Powernomics explains the solution. So
mm-hmm.
The universities, and I think agriculture, I've heard a movement of blacks getting into agriculture because the fundamental means of... human expression is supporting your basic needs. So
that's
what
right.
is more common to human beings than food? So,
mm-hmm.
and then you have black universities and colleges that there should be a link because, you know, on most white universities you have a quote-unquote think tank.
Yes.
And so everybody needs to do very similar things in this age. So I'm looking at a collaboration of the
mm-hmm.
community with the colleges and universities, with the businesses that are developing and will be developed. And there's Black Enterprise. They talk about start a black business, support a black business,
mm-hmm.
and, of course,
mm-hmm.
in a black business. So those are some things, but we're going to have to get the ideas first. Ideas are transcendent. You as a professor
mm-hmm.
certainly know that, and
yes.
they are tremendous in what they are, but we need the ideas, and then we need people to do it. My background is science, so
mm-hmm.
I don't mind constructing a model, but I put that model on the test track of life, as it were, and make sure it works, and I tweak it
mm-hmm.
where it needs tweaking, just like Robert said. He's always developing better formulae to
mm-hmm.
do what he's already doing successfully better. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to start using our brains and thinking these things through and then developing models that address what we need to rectify. So at any rate, I've got to run right now, but I'll listen
right.
in and I'll check back
and
with
missed
you later.
The
and thank you.
Yeah, please do that and share the show with others that may need this. In order for them to grow and to awaken.
Sure.
Thank you, my brother. And we have missed one caller, and I know that, and especially, oh, my goodness, I've missed a couple of callers while Mr. Solution was speaking just now. Do I have you online? Hello? This is Professor Applewhite. Okay.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you
doing? I didn't mean to lose you on that call. Thank
oh.
you very much for calling in.
Oh, I saw the show was ending, so I didn't think you had much time for the call. That's why I...
No, I try my best to get to everyone that's calling in because I feel this is such an important topic out there. What's your name?
My name is Sid.
Hi,
as in
Sid.
Sydney?
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Sydney, all right.
Yeah.
Not from Australia, are you?
Oh, no, I'm from New York. Yeah,
I could tell that New York accent. You got it.
Yeah.
That's where I was born, in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn. And
yes? Oh,
you know, I
Brooklyn.
Do
okay.
agree with, you know, I have actually created different curriculums for self-schooling, and I definitely agree that dollars back into the community is important.
Mm-hmm.
My family were immigrants from the West Indies, so
yes.
As a child, I always knew about the importance of, you know, food, shelter, and clothing,
mm-hmm.
and I realized, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really pay it too much attention, I think it's actually American culture in itself. A lot of research that I've done, it really points toward American culture poisoning people. And you know, studies from people coming from Mexico and other places, you know, a couple of months, 6 months to a year, and the people are radically changed. And, you know, I kind of put it as the American experiment, especially people of color, people from African descent in America. When you do the research into a lot of statistics on, like, medical care and different things, it's just, it's, like, ridiculous, you know, the way, you know, you have doubled the infant mortality rate in hospitals.
Yes.
The racism is blatant, but I think more dangerous is the silent racism, the hidden racism into
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Our children.
Sid, we certainly hope you join us again on the Student to Teacher show. We're running out of time, as you had mentioned. It is very close to our closing, and you've got a lot to say. So I'm just going to encourage you to please come back on our show again.
Sure. When is your next show?
Okay. Our show is always on Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Arizona time. And we invite you to come back and come back on and share with us what kind of curriculum you're developing.
Okay.
Okay? We'd all really appreciate that.
All right.
All right? We thank all of our listeners this morning, and we certainly appreciate all of you who have joined us on chat this morning. I don't want to ignore one of the comments that came on this morning is that that many people have lost their way and given into the devices to keep themselves in population control. Well, it's population control and mind control. And the socially acceptable behavior, just like Sid was saying, is that many of us, unfortunately, have given in to non-acceptable social behavior. So let's focus on the things that really count, and sometimes that is agriculture, as Mr. Solution was bringing out. And let's come back next week with more to say on Student to Teacher, and this is Professor Applewhite signing out and thanking you all for joining us this morning on our show, thanks to White Apple Institute sponsorship and Nazim Rashid for this great music of River Nile on Amazon Records. Thank you.